While we think of music making as a uniquely human experience, new research shows that male cockatoos are getting in on the action as well. New recordings show 18 male palm cockatoos creating more than 130 drum beats, seemingly to win over females. Professor Robert Hainson at the Australian National University has been collaborating with other scientists from across Australia on this delightful research. He joins us on the line now. Welcome, Professor.
Good morning.
How did you come to discover this phenomenon?
Well, I wasn't the first to discover it. Somebody had noted it, a few decades ago and written a short note about it. But I stumbled across it myself in about 1997 when I was walking around in the rainforest on Cape York, and I just heard this very clear, loud tapping sound coming from the other side of the forest. So I crept up on it. There was this beautiful, big male palm cockatoo, and he was clutching a small stick in his hand, and he was banging it wildly against a tree hollow.
Wow. And from there you thought, I need to research this, and sort of 10 years on?
Look, I have never been so intrigued by anything in my whole life. What was this bird doing? I went away and sort of researched it a bit more and worked out there was nothing else in the world that makes its own tool for the purposes of making sound. Some other species make tools to get food. If you think of chimpanzees, they like a little stick to probe to get termites or something like that. But there's nothing else in the animal world, nothing else apart from humans, that makes its own sound tool or musical instrument. So, yeah, I was drawn in. I just had to find out more about it. It's taken a long time. It's been very painstaking work.
And so how did you turn this discovery and inspiration into a research project?
Well, we had to attract a bit of funding, and National Geographic Society and the Herman Slade Foundation and a couple of other ones gave us some money to help us do the field work up there. But really it came down to learning how to stalk the birds very quietly and very carefully while they were doing their displays, because they weren't always in the same place at the same time. You had to find them first. And it's rough country up there, and the birds are shy and elusive. It's all very difficult. And then to capture the displays on video and with good quality sound. And, it went wrong so often. It drove us crazy. But slowly but surely, we got those little bits of footage. They were like pure gold when we got them. And like you said, we ended up with 131 sequences, and we were able to analyze it and work out a lot more about what they were doing and why.
Yeah, so tell us your findings. What were they doing? And they all have unique signature patterns. Very interesting.
Well, that's right. Well, like I said, it's unique for animals to use a sound tool in the first place. But then how they were using it was absolutely fascinating. So, look, I should mention they can use either a drumstick, which they make themselves. They cut it down to about 20 centimetres and use that to seed pod. It's a very hard type of seed pod from a grevillea up there that they like to use as well. And they shape that, they whittle that down to size 2 and hold it in their foot and tap away with that too. But look, it's all part of this elaborate display that the males put on to try and win over the females, to try and court them and get them to mate with them. And they do a lot of bobbing and whistling and screeching, and they erect their crest, and they have these bright red cheek patches, which are part of a very elaborate display. The males have to work so hard to get the females' attention. And the trouble is that the females only lay, they lay one egg at a time, and they only lay every second year. And the males have to work really hard to persuade them that this is the year to breed. And I guess they have to put on a very elaborate display just to show the females how good they are, and they just show off their prowess. So I was just saying before that the tapping, is part of the display, but they have to be rhythmic when they do it, otherwise the females are not impressed. And then the other thing we found was that each male has his own sort of drumming signature, his own style of drumming. Really quite different, and we could tell them apart by how they played their drum beats. Some were very slow and steady, and other ones were much faster and quicker, and then other ones had little flourishes that they would bring in at the beginning or in the middle of the drumming routine. And they were highly individually distinctive, and if we can tell them apart, we're pretty sure the females can too. And even if they're not nearby, they're flying by, they'd be able to know that was Joe or Fred or somebody else doing his drumming routine, and go in and have a closer look.
So,
individually distinctive, which we found absolutely fascinating.
Is there something special about the palm cockatoo? Is it specifically the palm cockatoo that does this, or is it just that you're focusing your research on them? Like, are there any other cockatoos that might be capable of this as well?
No, it's really intriguing because they are the only ones. And not only that, it's only the palm cockatoos on Cape York Peninsula that do this, because they're also found in New Guinea across Torres Strait. And they don't do this drumming up in New Guinea. So it's like a local culture. It's like one bright spark male worked out how to do this. You know, he picked up a stick and started tapping with it. He thought, oh, that sounds pretty nice. And then he might have noticed that the female was paying attention too. And then he just sort of, you know, slowly but surely built that into his display. And then, of course, parrots are so intelligent and they're so good at imitating and copying and learning that, you know, the neighbouring male would have gone, hey, that's a good idea. That works for him. I'll try that too. And then you would have seen the whole thing sort of spread throughout that population on Cape York. But no further, because the birds don't move backwards and forwards to New Guinea. So it stopped there. And we think it's just sort of a local culture that's arisen, you know, because of the special abilities of cockatoos in particular, but you know, a little bit random as well.
That's fascinating. So where to next with your research?
Oh, well, we're totally intrigued. This has been the first sort of level of describing it all and been doing a pretty thorough job. And we're really happy with the attention it's receiving because it's really pushing the boundaries, you know, to do with the evolution of displays, and it even touches on the evolution of music in humans. So I'm pretty sure we can keep it going. What we really want to know is exactly what it means to the females, and we'd love to do some of these playback experiments where you record the sound beforehand and play it to them on a speaker. And if you do it in sort of in a clever experimental way, you might be able to play rhythmic tapping to a female and then non-rhythmic tapping, see which one she responds to more. So to get a little bit experimental with it and see if we can unravel it a bit further.
Oh, well, that sounds wonderful. And you're a bit of a rock star at the moment. You've got all sorts of press from all over the world trying to contact you, so I'll let you get back to it.
Okay, thanks very much.